Welcome to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. I am not an expert. I'm just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice. And what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we learned about the power of awe and wonder as a healing tool. I hope you were able to recall and share a few powerful examples of awe in your life, as well as identify a few opportunities to intentionally create more daily and collective awe in your life this summer. Today, joining me is our MS community's very own Matt Rowe, who's here to share a bit about his personal journey with MS, how he's used his diagnosis and avid learnings to achieve greater health and wellness, as well as his steadfast belief in mindset as the doorway to healing. He'll also share about the upcoming annual event he hosts, the MS Symptom-Free Virtual Summit. For our gratitude portion of our episode today, I'd like to share my gratitude for the many folks in our shared MS community who are dedicated towards helping the rest of us navigate life with a chronic and progressive illness. Ken Wilber is an American theorist and writer in the field of transpersonal psychology. His model of consciousness involves four stages that I've found quite helpful in supporting my own journey of learning to live well with MS. Grow up, clean up, wake up, and show up. In a nutshell, Ken Wilber believes that aging and hardship are both powerful transformative opportunities for emotional and spiritual growth. He also believes we each have an opportunity to give back and serve the common good, and that when we face hardships that force us to become more aware of our own mortality, this powerful realization can create an urgency in us to live in better alignment with our personal values and burning passions. So his fourth stage for achievement of the highest level of consciousness is to show up. Showing up looks like answering our unique call to generate awareness, action, and real change in the world. It's living authentically, fully utilizing our personal gifts. It's embodying a life driven by our purpose and values. It's doing what we know is right for us, not what others wish for us to do. It's developing our full potential to transform the world. To do so requires us to become lighthouse leaders. Lighthouse leadership entails using our own personal anguish to fuel light, hope, and safety for others on a similar path. Lighthouse leaders stand tall and show what's possible by shining their light brightly. They've weathered many storms in life, and through the sharing of their own navigation of struggles and stories of redemption, they can walk beside others to offer companionship and hope, steadfast in their belief that the only way around is through, and knowing that by traversing through adversity with aligned purpose, passion, and action will lead to a more rewarding and happy life. So today, I give a shout out to the many lighthouse leaders we are fortunate to have in our shared MS community. To those previously featured on Misunderstood, like Dr. Peyrovi, Dr. Walls, Jennifer Abrams, Robbie Gillette, Adam St. George, Aaron Carey, David Lyons, Amy Beheimer, and more. And to those I've yet to have the opportunity to share with you, and our guest today, Matt Rowe. Y'all make living with MS just a little easier by sharing your personal stories and tools for living well with MS. So much gratitude for you and all you do for all of us. May you continue to live well with MS. So who is Matt Rowe? In just a moment, Matt will share his personal story with you. So for now, I'll just share that Matt lives with a diagnosis of PPMS, primary progressive MS, and is now a certified health coach with a specialization focus on mindset. He's also the author of Belief to Heal, host of the podcast Identity of Health, and has a prolific and beautifully supportive Facebook community page. Matt Rowe believes healing, even with MS as a currently incurable condition, is possible, and he is living proof that a healing mindset is amongst the most powerful of healing tools we can access and utilize on our healing journeys. Without further ado, let's listen in on our conversation to learn more about Matt, his story, and an upcoming free learning opportunity he's created for us all, the third annual Symptom-Free MS Summit. All right. So with me today, I have Matt Rowe. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you so much, Katie, for having me here. My heart is so full in this moment to be with this beautiful community.
Mine too. You know, we've both been at this for quite some time, and it's wonderful to finally have this opportunity to connect with you, learn more about you, share with the community all the good things you are doing and have coming up as opportunities for folks. So let's go ahead and dive in. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Okay. Let's start off with you just sharing a little bit about your own personal MS journey. You know, let us know kind of how MS came into your life and, you know, how you've been dealing with that and what the major, you know, points have been in terms of your experience in living with MS.
Yeah, it's a longer story, but I'll try to make it as short as possible. So back in 2008, I was vying to become a professional triathlete. I was All-American at the half Ironman distance, and I thought I was invincible, Katie. But with that, I was running from something. I was running from a high degree of stress in the job that I was in. I was running away from life. I was running away from everything that made me feel less than. So in 2008, I paralyzed my right leg from the waist down. I mean, it seems crazy. The day before, I ran 14 miles. I'm like, how could this happened? And I'd like to say a bear came out of the woods and tackled me, and that's how I paralyzed my spine or my right leg. It really was shoveling snow. I picked up a heavy load of snow under a high degree of stress, threw it over my shoulder, and my spine at L5 broke apart. And the right leg shut down. But I avoided doctors. I avoided everything within my life because I didn't want to come to the realization that my identity could have been taken away. I could have lost everything that I had worked so hard for in those moments. So then in that moment, it took 4 months. And after an incredible neurologist that went in and did surgery on the spine without evasiveness, so it was a non-invasive surgery called a microlaminectomy, he got the message sending from my brain to my right leg again. But at that time, he said, it's going to take 3 years to rehab this leg. And I said, no way, I'll do it faster. And then, you know, with all the science and everything that I had talked to and everything I'd gone to at that point, it was at the point that I got frustrated with my journey of getting my leg to work back again, that I signed up for Ironman and said, if Ironman training doesn't fix my leg, nothing will. So I crossed the finish line in 2011. And then I didn't go into learning anything from that experience. And I went back into my old life, working a high stress job, coming in, not putting myself first, putting everybody in front of me. At this time, I had a young family, I had 2 kids. Henry was 6 at the time and Alexandria was 4. And so with that, I kept going after all these positions and all these moments of saying, oh, are they gonna accept me? Because at this moment, I felt less than, and especially due to the injury, felt even worse. So kept trying to go into it, got involved in this crazy sport called CrossFit. I think most people have mental challenges if they're in CrossFit. I love my CrossFitters, but holy cow. With all of this, and then through that, and you know, as you look at it, I never thought that that paralyzing my right leg would lead to something more dangerous, would lead to a diagnosis that would change my life forever. And so as I said, I went on into all those moments. But then in 2013, I was working out and doing something called box jumps for CrossFit, where you jump on a high box and it's crazy. There's no reason why you have to jump on a box in life at all. So, but when I did it, I missed the box and I slammed my shin down onto the box. But that left a really bad gash in my leg that the doctors were concerned about. So their solution, because they couldn't stitch it, they couldn't do anything for it, was antibiotics. And it was 4 months of heavy antibiotics. And I don't know if this was the reason, but then I remember the day back in 2013 that I started to experience 25 to 30 strokes a day. So they were TIAs, temporary ischemic attacks. And so with those strokes, anytime I stood up, the right side of my body would paralyze. And for about 10 seconds, I couldn't walk, I couldn't move. And then if once the nervous system calmed back down again, then I could move and, actually go back. And I was still working a corporate job. So under this basis, I noticed those strokes got worse when I was stressed out. Raising a young family, you have plenty of opportunities to be stressed in that moment. So, but I believe, Katie, that was the start of multiple sclerosis for me back
Sounds like,
11 years ago. Yeah.
yeah. Oh, and hindsight is 2020, right? Like when you were in it, it wasn't as clear, but now that you have this distance and you're able to look back, yeah, so many different triggers that you talked about. I love also that you mentioned, the first time this message of maybe changing your lifestyle a little bit came into your life, you didn't listen because, boy, that's so relatable, right? So many of us were just go-getters and we don't want to be stopped. We're doing important
Yes.
things, right? So, oh my gosh, sorry you experienced all of that. Let's hear what happened next.
So it was, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, but in hindsight, and you said it beautifully, it's a gift. In the moment, it was hell. It was, oh my gosh, what is happening to me? But then the thoughts of I'm not enough came in. Am I going to be able to be the dad that I want to be? And then all those negative thoughts started to swarm over me during this period. Then I avoided any doctor from 2013 to 2017. But then in 2017, after I got let go from my job, because of little things that I couldn't do, and I noticed frustration, I wasn't as sharp as I used to be. I remember optic neuritis when it came in. I was driving up a mountain doing 70 miles an hour with my family in the car, and I went blind. Very fortunate. I'd done that road many, many times. I knew exactly where I was. I could start to notice it coming in, kind of like that tunnel shrinking in. And I pulled the car off to the side of the road. And I remember looking at my wife, I remember telling my ex-wife at the time, you need to drive the car. I can't see. So she helped me out to get into the passenger seat. And I'm like, what is going on? Fear came in. So in that moment, I went in, went to my neurologist and went and got an MRI. And that's when the neurologist came back and said, Matt, you've been diagnosed with primary progressive multiple sclerosis. There are over 30 lesions in your spine and brain. In 6 months, you are going to be in a wheelchair. I'm sorry. And then I left her office. I'm like, what can I do? And she gave me of course, when you are diagnosed, they give you a pamphlet of everything that you can take. And I read through all the stats and I read through all the numbers of this. And I really studied all the different types from Tysabri to Ocrevus to all the other medications and realizing they only had a 27% effective rate. But then that's when I started to do my research. I started to say, okay, has anybody overcome this? Is there a way around it? Like individuals that have been diagnosed with diabetes. Yes, there's a way around that, even though it's a very serious autoimmune condition. But there are some lifestyle changes you can make that make your life better. So I wanted to find those lifestyle changes. And one of them I noticed was stress. When stress lessened, and then I started to become aware of when stress was heightened, would I notice a symptom? Would I notice optic neuritis? Would I notice these different things coming in my body? Now, at this time, I'm only walking 800 steps a day. That means I could get up off the couch, I could walk to the grocery store, maybe, or go to my kids' event or go do this. I was using walking sticks, everything, all of that. But I was somewhat encapsulated with the dis-ease state. So in there, I said, okay, if it's stress, what can I do? And then that's when I became a meditation practitioner. I said, how much can I study in regards to meditation? Then at the same time, came across this thing called Reiki energy. And I'm like, wait a second, does this work? And so I walked down that road and became a Reiki practitioner. So everything I did, I didn't just learn it. I'm like, no, I want to be able to teach it. I want to learn it so well that this is now an aspect of my life and who I am. So with that, from 2017 to 2021, I'm still walking the same 800 steps. I'm still using sticks. I'm noticing downward progression as the doctors had said it would happen. But I was so happy. I'm like, doctor said 6 months. I'm now 4 years. So it kind of came into that, oh, kind of that screw you perspective. I'm winning, like, because I'm a very competitive guy. So under that is like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm winning. I'm going to get over this. But couldn't get over the next hurdle and next hump. So then in 2021, my ex-wife asked me for a divorce. Now, Katie, it was the greatest thing to ever happen to me. And it was in that moment, and I remember at this time where I was staying because I got kicked out of the house. Nothing bad had happened. No, my ex-wife is like, no, I don't want to live this life with somebody that has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I said, okay. Now we had been married for 21 years. And I said, okay. And I went through the dark moments. I went through the dark times of, immense amount of tears, like a lot of pain. And I remember sitting in meditation by a river. Yes, it's quintessential. It almost sounds like I wrote the book on it. But I remember sitting by a river in meditation, and this voice came in. Like this knowing, and you say it wasn't like an audible voice, but it was like a statement made that was clear as day. And it said, you can approach the rest of your life with anger, shame, guilt, depression, fear, and frustration. It's your choice. Or you can approach it with joy and love. And in that moment, as the tears are falling, as I'm thinking about, oh my gosh, my life is over. My kids are, at this point are 18 and 15 and 16 years old. And I'm like, what kind of dad am I going to be? And all those. And then in that moment, I said, no, I'm going to choose joy and love for the rest of my life, no matter what that means. Joy and love in everything, not just certain aspects and certain pieces. I'm talking everything from how I treat myself to the workouts I do, because at this point I'm still working out. I'm still trying to do CrossFit. I'm still trying to do all these things that I know that have helped me. But when I chose joy and love, it's not that I gave up the workouts, but then I was open to doing it a different way. I was open to let go, and it started very small, of the ego. Of this aspect of I'm not enough, and I'm still in my moments of this after years, is really set into a different way, set into a different perspective, and I began loving myself. Now, as I said during the divorce, I'm walking 800 steps. Now, over time, now I'm talking a couple of months, I noticed I'm walking farther. Now, through this time, Katie, too, when I started to love myself fully, I met somebody. I met this woman just like I was at this point. I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life. I'd like to meet somebody, just somebody that to have a beautiful conversation with, that has an open heart, that understands who I, you know, that is curious about who I am. So I met her, and we're getting married now in 2026 because we have so much going on with our lives. But this woman is the antithesis of love, but it's the aspect that she loves herself completely. She doesn't need me, and I don't need her. But we are in unity, lifting each other up higher and higher and higher. Now, my walking is over 5,000 steps. I'm going to concerts. I'm living all these aspects. As I take care of my body started to enter into a healing state. So as we look at this, most of us operate out of the sympathetic nervous system of fight, flight, or freeze. It's a natural ingrained neural pathway inside of all of our brains. But how often do we put ourselves into the parasympathetic, which is rest and repair? Now we have an opportunity to do this. And as I started to do it, I started to use my own body as an experiment. I'm like, what's the worst? I get diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I'm like, what's the worst? I only walk 800 steps. So I'm like, let's do things that promote me and my own healing journey. And when I say healing, now individuals may push back on this, and I'll say this in my groups, and I'll say this, but we're all healing something. If it's not a physical dis-ease, maybe the dis-ease is a symptom that leads us to something much deeper within us. Let's say it's shame. A lot of us live in shame. I should have done this. Why did I do this? Why didn't I take care of myself when I could? Why? And it leads to frustration and anger, the sympathetic nervous system, which causes inflammation inside that nervous system. And if I'm regularly inflaming my nervous system, then what's going to happen is that I'm going to lead to a symptom. So if I use those symptoms as little guideposts, I could say, okay, where am I experiencing stress? Where am I experiencing fear? Where am I experiencing moments where I don't feel like I am enough? And even after all of this work, I love what Dr. Deepak Chopra had said in my studies. And he goes, if you think you're spiritually awoke, go home for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so, and with all of that, it is, this journey continues to unfold. I continue to feel better. I am still walking. Oh, well, I stopped counting my steps after 10,000. And I was religious on counting my steps. I would look at my phone and would, you know, mark all my steps. And I stopped looking at them. I stopped looking at it because it's like, okay, where did I feel limited today? And the limitations went away. And if they came in, I knew why.
You're saying so many really important things that I hope people are cluing in on, you know, these patterns that you're noticing, these clues that your body is sending you either through physical symptoms or through these lower frequency emotions that you're feeling. Like, I feel like those are some of the greatest gifts that come with MS, is just these teaching tools. Right? It sounds like you've learned so much about yourself in the process. And gosh, sky is just the limit. Keep telling us more.
Well, you said something really powerful, those lower frequency vibrations. So let's take a step. Why is vibration important? Because, Katie, as you know, we're all just vibration. Everything around us is vibrating. They've proven this at MIT. Anything I'm saying now has been proven by science. And now doctors like Dr. Deepak Chopra and other doctors, Dr. Jeffrey Redinger and other doctors out there in this space are recognizing that we are energy. We do attract specific energies to us. So let's take a step back from that. So when we look at this, what is the human body? The human body is energy. We have trillions of cells that run through our body, and inside of every one of those cells are atoms. Inside those atoms are nothing. 99.9999999% of that atom is empty. But as they studied this, they started to realize that atom is energy. So then we're just major energy systems. And then when they actually studied this in the actual Hertz ratio, our body emits 90 Hertz of energy. So the Matrix, if you watch that, wasn't wrong. We're all just batteries. So then if we are all just energy and the world around us is energy, then what energy am I attracting? Am I attracting shame? Am I attracting fear? Am I attracting love? And as they're starting to study this even further, love has healing property. Love actually changes us genetically. And so what would it take to put your body into a state of love? Now, I'm not talking about perpetual love. I'm not talking about you have like flowers and you're dancing around. You're like, oh, everybody in
for
love.
Toxic positivity, right? Like, yes. No, not that.
No, because then your subconscious mind, which is the creator within your life, will call BS. We'll go, yeah, nice job with the love stuff. Remember yesterday when you beat the living crap out of yourself and you told yourself that you were less than, that you weren't any good, and all the fear that you were living? The subconscious mind remembers. But now every one of your cells is energy. Where did that energy come from? Because energy is never destroyed nor created. That energy comes from every thought, feeling, and emotion you have ever had. And it's trapped within us. That's why doing some of this powerful work is addressing the inner child that is within all of us, the little girl you grew up with, and loving her, giving her what she needed at that time. I had a little boy within me that had so much regret, that it had so much abandonment through all these experiences. And what I found was I kept telling myself this story over and over. Remember when I had three sisters growing up? Remember when they did this? Or remember when you didn't get this opportunity? Remember? And it's my story. It's my perception. It's 100% of my reality. So in that, if I continue to tell myself that story, am I not creating the same energy over and over and over again? So then this gave me an opportunity. And that's when I was diagnosed with MS, and it took years, I started to say, what do I believe about myself? Do I believe that I'm enough? Do I believe I can do this or not? Do I believe I deserve love? Do I want to heal? Because in some cases, do I want to heal this past trauma from within me? And something that's challenging in today's day and age, and why I believe we see autoimmune conditions at epidemic levels. I heard a stat, 400 people a day are getting diagnosed worldwide.
And younger as we speak.
It's scary. But what is today? Social media. How many times you go on social media and go, oh yeah. I can, yes, I'm really good no matter what anybody else is doing. No, our initial is they didn't like my post. I didn't write that well enough. Man, they go on these trips and I can't go. I wish I had that money. I wished I could do this. And then it perpetuates this feeling as if we're not good enough. And when you study Everett Rose in her book, Metaphysical Anatomy, multiple sclerosis is the dis-ease of feeling as if we are not enough. Yes. So not using this as a shame, blame, guilt, and you can take it that way. I can't keep you from following any specific path, but what if that path, what you're hearing right now is a little bit of a wake-up call, is to go, huh, I wonder what trauma I felt. And it's not the big trauma. Our bodies are actually can handle big trauma. Car accident, death of a loved one, a diagnosis, whatever it is, the big trauma our bodies can handle. Because think about it. We haven't evolved in 10,000 years. And if 10,000 years ago, I stepped out of my house and there was a tiger in front of me, what did I do? I naturally went into the fight, flight, freeze response. Because if I actually thought about the tiger and said, oh my God, that's the coolest tiger in the world. I wonder if I could ride it to my friend's house. I'd be the queen of the jungle. I would be the master of everything around me. No, if you'd had that thought for an iota of a second, you would have been eaten by the tiger. And that meant you didn't get to have children and you didn't get to your gene line press forward. But the ones that survived were the ones that fought, the ones that fled, the ones that hid from the tiger. So now we do this in our day-to-day life as it is today. But our bodies can handle that. We'll notice this at an acute level, a high degree of stress, and then we let it go. We may tell the story over and over, but then you notice the body enters back into a state of rest and repair in that moment. But what our bodies cannot handle is the little T trauma. It's the perpetual, the traffic jam, the teenager that yells, the fact that somebody doesn't appreciate you with the work that you do, going on Facebook and saying, oh gosh, I wish I could have done this. But where in your life has little T trauma been predominant? Now, for everybody I've worked with, and it's been hundreds, you find that this is predominant. This is regularly what happens within their life. Whether it's trauma from your kid, as a child growing up, and then you can even go as far as epigenetic trauma, because you are 50% your mom and you are 50% your dad. And they did the best they could with what they knew at that time. But they're 50% their mom and dad. And their mom and dad is 50% their mom and dad. So that genetic line keeps getting passed down. Now we're talking about the 1850s. Time was much different in the 1850s. But in today's day and age, our bodies cannot handle it.
So true. You're talking about the last few years of my life in terms of the things I've discovered about my own story too. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that we're talking about this so openly, because, you know, it's hard to look within and to look at for those deep cuts, especially the ones that happened so long ago or are still happening in our lives with people we love.
Yes.
Right. Or, you know, anytime, like you said, we turn on the news, it's very fear-based. Mm-hmm. And so it's so easy for us to get sucked down into this vortex of negativity. Right. And what's key, this is why I believe, and I'm curious your thoughts, why people in our community struggle so much with depression, anxiety, right? And because we get stuck, we get, you know, sucked down into the suck, as my friend Aaron calls it. And boy, it's really hard to dig yourself out, but this is the way.
Mm-hmm. Katie, we get addicted to it. We get addicted to drama. We get addicted to the story. We get addicted because under that moment of fear, what happens under that moment of fear? The cell that is actually bringing that fear of that energy within to it, actually what the cell does is it creates receptors around the cell so that you can fight the tiger. Because remember, go back to the tiger analogy, your body doesn't know the difference between a traffic jam and a tiger. It's the same response. You have adrenaline that releases, you have cortisol that comes out that affects your prefrontal cortex where clarity of thought comes from. There's some really fun exercises I do with my new community that when they start to realize, oh, that's a chemical response within the brain. So let's go back to this addiction. So within us, our body is always trying to make sure you stay alive. So the cells within your body, if over a long period of time, you're living in shame, you're living in frustration, if you're living in the stories of the past, then what's going to happen is those receptors around every cell are predisposed to looking for the danger. And so now if all these receptors around the cell are looking for danger, it's looking for the peptide delivered by the body under a moment of stress. So you think of it in this moment, let's say 90% of your cells are programmed to deal with stress. So now if they're programmed to deal with stress, you start looking for stress everywhere. And we are one of the few mammals on the planet that can actually create stress without stress being there. All I have to do is tell myself the story.
Oh, sure. And then tell it to yourself again, right? And that's mm-hmm. that's rumination. That's yes. what it's, right? Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So now the cell gets fed. So if the cell is not getting its what I call the emotional drug to solve that peptide that's around the cell, then what's going to happen is, or the receptor that's around the cell, what's going to happen is all the brain has to do is think of the story. All it has to do is think of that old energy, the past, and most like most of us live in the past. We don't live in this present moment of now. We don't live, or if we think about the future, especially after being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, what I'll do is if I think about the future, it comes with anxiety. Oh, what happens if my daughter's going to be graduating from high school? What if I have to walk into the auditorium? What if I have to? And then I play the what if scenarios, which then all the cells in my body's like, gotcha, got the drug I wanted. I got the fear of the future, or I got the regret of the past. And so now I'm solving that. So we have an opportunity, I believe. We have an opportunity if we're making new cells. Since we've been talking, you've made 3 million new cells within your body.
At least. I'm an overachiever. I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. You're probably like 5 or 6. Yeah, of course you are, Katie. And so in that moment, you're making new cells all the time. But if I'm making cells out of the old information, then I'm creating the same cells with the same receptors on the outside that are looking for the fear. So if I'm making new cells, let's say 90% of your cells are ones looking for fear, looking for that response. You know, deep down consciously, this is not you. This is not who I am. But all it takes is a moment to bring that, to give those cells the drug again that it wants. Once you become aware of this, so everyone, like all the listeners that are listening to this right now, you're actually taking a step towards your recovery by becoming aware. So now that I'm aware of that, I get to make a choice. I say, you know what? I'm going to choose slowing down. I'm going to become aware of what my mind's thinking about. That's why mindset is so important in everything that we do. Because whether we think we can or think we can't, we're right. And so if we think we can lean towards love, then all of a sudden what you're going to do is you're going to start building cells of love. And so what will happen is that 90% of the cells that are ready for fear and the fight and the anger and the frustration come down, and you fill up cells of love. Then all of a sudden, those same receptors are out there, but those receptors are looking for love, are looking for, and it's, and when I say love, it's not external love. It's love from within us. We are the only ones that can actually give us the love that we really need. It's not the love. The love outside of us is like a breadcrumb of love. But when we find this love fully within us, and all of a sudden, our cells transfer. And then what happens is the body enters into the state of the parasympathetic nervous system, which is rest and repair, but you're doing this on a regular basis. You're choosing yourself first in this category instead of putting yourself last. And this is not being selfish, but now go back to your history, the old story. Our parents, when we grew up, said, don't be selfish. You can't do that. You can't say that. You can't say this to a person. And I'm not saying you say things that you want to say, but under it is, how often do you put yourself first? Do you say that I am enough? I am good enough to heal this, no matter what state you're in right now. So healing is not just the physical ailments that may be a result at the end, but healing is maybe healing self-love within you. Maybe healing is an aspect of letting go of these things that you've held on to for your past. And you'll find the subconscious mind doesn't want to lose its identity, so it'll grab a hold of it and it'll go, oh, you can't let go of that. If you let go of that and surrender to it, then they're going to do it again to you. It's a story. It's a story you tell yourself. Now, in some cases, yes, a boundary is very healthy. And so in some of the work that I do, I'll teach individuals how to set a loving, healthy boundary. And when they do, they have a different conversation with the other individual. They're putting themselves first. And what happens is they notice it within the body. I've had individuals where an individual was bedridden. She was not walking. She was in the bed, but she was holding on to so much anger until. I remember getting on a call with her and she had a big smile on her face. And I said, what's going on? And she goes, I stood up. And I said, how did that make you feel? And she goes, amazing. And I said, can you do it again? She goes, yeah. So today she walks. Today she found her possibility within her. And I want to let everybody know, you are limitless. You have endless possibility, but it really comes down to what you tell yourself and your mindset, whether you believe you can or believe you can't.
So powerful. You know, it's so easy when we've gone through such difficult diagnosis experiences. You know, we can adopt, you talked about identity. We can adopt this woundology kind of as part of our identity and get stuck there. Right. And so it sounds like you've worked with hundreds of people who have maybe been in this stuck place, or they've made some progress on their own, but they haven't been able to maybe get it to the point where they're having physical relief from symptoms. Talk to us a little bit about how you might approach that with someone who's in that spot and just really, really struggling to make that switch.
Yeah, it's a beautiful question. It's going to be different. Just like MS is different for every one of us, it's going to be different for every individual. But in that moment, it's finding where they are living in a limited thought process or limitless thought process. Now, with multiple sclerosis, most of us, and I can only speak from my own experience, very limited. I never thought I could actually achieve anything in this moment. Oh, I was diagnosed with this. It's my life is over. And so that became my recurring thought process over and over again. So the first step out of this is awareness. It's becoming aware of your thought. When you become aware of your thought and how you're thinking, you can begin to transmute it. You can begin consciously making a different decision. Now that's consciousness. Consciousness is where we make ultimate change in everything that we wish, but everything that is created within our lives happens at a subconscious level. And I love my subconscious mind. That's why my heart beats. That's why I haven't thought about how many times I'm breathing while we're having this beautiful, you know, discussion today. It just happens automatically. Well, so do your thoughts. So do, just like you said earlier, if we're energy, so does our energy. Our energy moves in that specific pattern because the body is always in a state of wanting to feel safe. So at one point, thinking the way we thought, now granted, let's take a big step back, who you believe you are was actually created between the ages of 2 and 14 years of age, at a very young age. It'd be like you going to a grade school and being like, okay, guys, what should I think about today? And asking a bunch of grade schoolers, it'd be crazy. It'd be asinine. You would never, ever go and do that. But we do that every day internally within ourselves. But once you become aware as an adult, you're like, that's not what I want. And under that moment right there, you make a different decision. But then as you make that decision, that subconscious mind is going to want to keep its identity. It's going to want to keep its significance. Oh, Katie, I've worked so hard to keep you alive for all these years, and all the guilt and all the shame and all the, and when you see it and you're like, yeah, but that's not what I want. That's not who I am. And once we become aware of that, we make different decisions. We make different choices. We walk a different path. And when we walk that different path, the body energetically responds to the path we wish to walk. So now with you becoming aware, so for example, like the example I gave earlier, or the story I gave earlier with a woman that is bedridden, when she started to tell herself a different story, and it happened with her laying there, and said, okay, you know what? I am enough. I can do this. And then she started to forgive. She started to first forgive herself and say, you are enough. I love you so much. And then she started to love herself from within and saying, you know what? You are enough. Symptom would show up. She couldn't get up out of bed. And instead of beating herself up, the past, she started to show herself compassion. And with that compassion, she would start laughing, and she would find her old thought process humorous, and then she stood up. Her possibilities started to grow. The different cells within her body started to go from a state of fear to a state of love. Now, I can ask you a question. Everybody that's listening right now, you can spend the rest of your day in fear or spend the rest of your day in love. Which one do you choose?
Love every time.
You didn't even think about it.
Oh.
But what happens is the human mind actually goes to fear. 80% of the time it goes to fear at a conscious level. So now if I'm aware, now with that awareness, I go, oh, I'm going to choose love in this moment. So maybe that thought process is, oh, I'm so used to beating myself up. Why is this happening? This is not supposed to be me. My life is over. All that stuff. And if I catch myself in that thought and go, you know what? It's not just saying something positive, because you'd said earlier, it's toxic positivity because your mind really doesn't believe it. So in that moment, we can begin shifting. And we don't need to shift a lot. We just need to shift just a little bit. And where I coach individuals is, think of it as the progression of 1%. So if my thought here is, I was diagnosed with the disease, I'm not good enough, my life is over, all that kind of stuff, that's okay. Wherever you are right now is exactly where you need to be in your journey. But then let's say the thought just shifts by 1%. You know what? This sucks right now. I can get over this. Let me try something different. And let's say that is the 1% shift for you. Just like the woman that I'd been working with, she made little 1% shifts every day. And what happened was, a month later, she stood up. She began shifting her entire reality. Now, if we are all energy and everything around us is vibrating, if you look at this from the quantum perspective, highly recommend read the book Quantum Body by Dr. Deepak Chopra, that really, if we change our quantum perspective, and the quantum just means energy, essentially, it has more deeper meanings than that, but let's just make it really easy in this one, is that if this is really just energy, then can I alter energy by what I think? And how I'm being and how I show up. When I altered my own energy just a little bit each day, then what happened was, is things changed around me. My relationship with my teenagers at the time got better. I found myself laughing more. I found myself enjoying life. Now, I was still only walking 800 steps. But no longer did those 800 steps lead me to shame, blame, guilt, depression, and frustration. It led me to, oh, this is going to be fun. Let's see if I can do this. Let's see if I can make a difference from within me. Can I really start making a change? Is everything I'm learning, does it really make a difference? Well, give it a shot. It's one of those things that you're never going to know until you do it, until you try.
Right. And so one other thing that fascinates me as I hear you speak is just, we have a lot of parallels in our lives. And one of those is that we've done a lot of research. We've learned from a lot of people who have been on similar journeys. We've explored what the experts who really get this stuff are saying, right? And so this is how we change. And I think the first thing I hope that people are thinking right now is like, what are these patterns that Matt and Katie are talking about that I might be able to kind of see in my own life? And like you said, that awareness is the first step, right? And then I think if people, you know, not everyone is wired or inspired to research like we are. And that's okay. Because Matt is actually here today to talk a little bit about an upcoming opportunity. Because when we hear stories from more people that we can, you know, resonate with, that are similar to our stories, then we truly learn how it's possible. So if you're okay with it, I'd love to kind of shift into the opportunity you have coming up and tell us a little bit about that, because I believe the reason why you do that is so that people can hear these stories of what's possible.
Yes, absolutely. 3 years ago, I started to meet, and all this research that you said so beautifully, you meet individuals, you're like, oh my gosh, other people need to know about what you're doing. Other people need to know about this healing modality. And other people need to know about how they can actually gain control in their life. So I started the Symptom-Free MS Summit 3 years ago. This year, we have 25 speakers that are coming together, down from doctors that are showing this in an actual proven basis, to energy healers that have done this within themselves. And one thing that's really beautiful about this summit, 95% of every speaker within this summit has been diagnosed with MS and has overcome it, have risen above new heights, have said and taken a look at this and saying, no, this is not me. I mean, I have an incredible woman, Jillian, that's going to be speaking in the summit. She runs marathons, diagnosed with MS, was wheelchair bound at the age of 19. Really thought nothing, that she would ever do anything, but then changed her reality. We have nutritionists. They're talking about an anti-inflammatory diet and all these pieces. But I get some pushback in regards to Symptom-Free MS Summit. I had an individual this week say, well, I'm not going to sign up for your summit. And it's absolutely free, Katie, for you to become a part of it. I'm not going to do it because I'm not symptom-free. I'm like, you don't have to be. This is basically Symptom-Free MS Summit is there. Think of symptom-free as possibility, bringing more possibility within you. If you wake up tomorrow, and no matter what state that you're in, which is absolutely beautiful, which is absolutely wonderful, because I know you're enough in everything, in all of these moments. If you wake up tomorrow and you notice a little bit of a shift, a little bit of change in how you feel about yourself, well, isn't that symptom-free? Because in this present moment right now, you are symptom free. All the listeners right now are symptom free. And you might push back. You could say, oh, Matt, you have no idea what happened for me to get in here to listen to this. I had to have somebody help me and all this stuff. Well, that's the past. And we can continue to live in that past. There's no shame. Or if you're like, oh, I'm going to have to get up and I'm going to have to move to here. Well, that's the future. It hasn't happened yet. But right now, in this specific moment, you are symptom free. And this is the possibility that I wanted to help so many other individuals step into within themselves, that you are possible. You are amazing. You are in anything that you are, you can be this. So symptom free under this, if you're pushing back against it, explore why. Why am I pushing back? Do I believe this is possible? Because I wasn't going to call it the, you know, a summit of MS, or I wasn't going to call it something else in there. Or, and I'm not a big fan of warriors, because warriors have to fight something, and that means they have to fight MS. So that doesn't that make MS stronger? No. When we take a look, what are we ultimately wanting to seek? We're wanting to seek a life that is symptom-free. So we have the Symptom-Free MS Summit that's actually starting on June 17th. And this, I run the summit the 2 weeks before the 4th of July every year. And I will for the rest of my life. It's because all these amazing speakers, all of these amazing possibilities that are coming out, and what I see coming out, and one thing that's great about this summit too, Katie, is every speaker gives away a free gift. So you have the opportunity for free to get 25 free gifts from different modalities, different conversations to have with these individuals, to meet with them on a one-to-one basis, to really lean in to your possibility. Because I know you are possible.
Absolutely. Wow. What a gift you are giving to our shared MS community through organizing this, right? Pulling together all of these incredible stories of what's possible. Okay. So how do people find you?
So they can go to my website, identityofhealth.com. And in that website, they can actually take a look at and book an appointment with me and have a discussion, because I'd love to meet you. I'd love to figure out how best, or even if it's not with me or somebody that I know that can help direct this, because out of this entire opportunity with the summit, I've met over 75 practitioners that have actually made systemic change in their life after being diagnosed with MS. And they all have their own specific ways. So in having that conversation, the Symptom Free MS Summit, you can go to symptomfreems.com, and that will actually give you access to actually register and sign up for the summit. So the beautiful part about the summit is every day you have all day to view two speakers and to view those two speaker segments, because this is going to go over a 2 week period. So you'll have all day to view those speakers. If you want to have access to have this for a lifetime, it's $37. It's really on that side, because I want you to have this knowledge. I want you to have this possibility within you, because we don't need to be defined by MS. Because it's not yours to be defined by. It's not yours to have.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I am super excited. In past years, I've only had an opportunity to listen to a few. You know, summer is such a busy time. It is. I want to just let people, let's say this again, this is free. And if you don't have time for it right now, you can get a copy of everything for $37.
For life. All of it. And you still get access to all their free gifts. So you're going to get access to $5,000 worth of free gifts from these speakers for $37.
And you're going to, more importantly, get aspects of your life back, which is priceless.
Oh, it's priceless. Can you imagine if you smiled when your husband or your wife walked in the room? If you found a little bit more possibility, if you became that beacon of light and hope for your kids, and they're like, oh my gosh, did you see what mom did today? And then when they go into their own lives, they're like, I am possible. I can do this. I can make this happen. Then all of a sudden, you change the entire dynamic of the family. You heal not just yourself from within, but your kids too, breaking that epigenetic chain.
Right. It's a gift that keeps on giving, right?
100%.
For sure. Beautiful. Such beautiful work that you are doing for yourself, for our shared MS community. I just cannot thank you enough. I think you've said all the things I was hoping that you would say. From both of us, if there's anyone listening who is suffering in isolation, please reach out. You know, here's a great opportunity, a great human who I just heard invited you to meet with him. He wants to meet you. Right? Like we are here. We are you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all here to kind of help each other. There's no need to suffer through in isolation.
Absolutely. Because together we go farther, Katie.
We sure do. We sure do. I know. I'm so grateful. You know, once I started connecting with people and was no longer on this journey alone, that's when the real positive changes started to occur in my life.
You notice how you shifted your perspective a little bit. You started to shift a little bit. There's a great author by the name of Stephen Blanchard. He wrote the book U Squared. And essentially, the fly that beats up against the window trying to get out is never going to break through that window. But if that fly turned and looked behind himself, he would notice 10 feet away is an open door. And he would fly out to freedom. But how many of us don't turn? How many of us continue in the same path? So what we're doing right now, which I get so excited about, all the work that you do, Katie, everything that you are, you're such a beautiful advocate for us that have been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, giving hope and possibility. And through that hope, we turn and we see the open door behind us.
We do. And you know, that's how we start feeling that there's actually gifts in MS.
Yes. Yes. You said something very powerful. And I wrote about it in the end of my book, Belief to Heal, is I now see MS as a gift. I would have never met the woman of my dreams. I would have never had the relationship that I have with my kids. I would never had, most importantly, the relationship with myself. Listening to my own body going, you know what, I'm going to do this because that makes me feel good. And if we live our lives in joy, and if we live our lives in love, is that a bad life?
Not at all. I love my life now. And it wasn't possible with the life I was living before my diagnosis. So I'm very much on a parallel journey with you, and there's room next to us.
Yes, 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 yes. And you said there's room next to us. There isn't a container big enough to hold us all, because when you're living in joy and love, there's enough for everything. There's enough for all of us. There's enough love. Love has no end. Love has no limitation on healing your body. It's only a limitation you give it. So as you step into more of this possibility that is fully within you, you step into more aspects of love.
We do. Now, can we talk real quick about some of the ways we also love ourselves? You know, some people might be thinking, is it all about mindset? Well, that's a huge part of it. And when we love ourselves, we make better choices and we learn what is the fuel my body needs, because food is fuel, right? And so we learn that, you know, moving our muscles is the fastest way to get out of pain. You know, we learn all of these things that loving ourselves opens us up to do.
Yes. And you unapologetically ask different questions to your doctor. That your doctor now is part of your healing team and not just a doctor that's going to send you a bunch of information and send you home with a bill. They're really looking at it and saying, okay, this is what I'm going for. And if that doctor doesn't align to your love of what you're shooting for, you go to the next doctor. And you wait until you find the one that supports you, promotes you, has you living higher and higher. And then what will happen is your energy will change and you will attract different people into your life. Different people will come, different doctors, different coaches, different modalities, different opportunities of possibility will enter within you, but we have to allow it. So love is the aspect of putting yourself first. It's saying, okay, this is what I need. And I love how you brought up nutrition in this, is when you go down to eat something. I love Diana Caputo, who had sits down to a plate of vegetables. And this is a woman bedridden with multiple sclerosis, is now fully mobile and travels the world helping other individuals diagnosed with multiple sclerosis or autoimmune condition. And she sits down to a plate of vegetables and she goes, oh, look, Bonnie, look what I'm going to give you now. Isn't that such a loving statement of her really coming into her full aspect and going, yeah, I am enough. I'm going to do this for me right now.
It works. It works. So listeners, please join us. Join Matt at the summit. I will be there. I cannot wait. Anything else you want to share with listeners today before we go?
No, it just is. I'm working on something that is going to take healing to a whole nother level. That once I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, I looked at all the different areas that help support me. And then as I've worked with so many individuals, I found a central theme as they walked down this road. And really, my mission, Katie, is to change the face of medicine from a sick care system to a fully healed, self-supported system led by the patient, led by the individual. Because now when you look at experts, we are the experts with MS. Now, doctors, I love doctors. They go through all of this training. They go through all of this stuff, the neurologists that are out there, and they study and they study and study. You and I can study that too. So it's not like they hold back this information and say, oh, that's only for this doctor. That's all you can do. So yes, we can learn this too. But what a doctor cannot learn is what it's like to live a life with MS. So that makes us the expert. So if we're the expert, how can we put a team together to help us and support us to live the beautiful life that is meant for you? And this is something you have done so beautifully, Katie. And I want to say thank you for being such a beacon of light for so many.
Oh, well, thank you. It takes a village, right? There are so many of us that have lived this experience that are still living this experience, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want people to think we don't have challenges that come into our lives. Life is full of challenges, but it is all in how you choose to face them and how you choose to rise above them, really. So it is an honor to be a part of this community with you. And I'm so glad we got to get together today to chat a little bit. Thank you for the summit offering. And I really hope that everyone listening here joins us for this really powerful and empowering event.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Excellent. We'll talk again soon.
I can't wait.
I hope you enjoyed learning a little about Matt, his strong commitment and belief in mindset as a healing tool, and learning about the upcoming MS Symptom-Free Summit. My hope today is that we all, one, remain active participants in our own healing by purposefully engaging in as many learning opportunities as possible to help illuminate our unique pathways to healing, such as next week's third annual Symptom-Free MS Summit. Two, that we don't give up when experiencing adversity and personal challenge, keeping the faith by acknowledging that many of our most powerful times of growth are born in times of hardship, can illuminate ways we can truly show up to do our part in making the world a better place for ourselves and others. And three, that we remember the power an active support community can play in our healing and overall quality of life, despite any challenges we may be experiencing. There's no need for anyone to suffer in isolation. Please reach out if you feel alone and need support. To continue this conversation about the MS Summit with Matt Rowe and any other episodes released this month, you're welcome to attend our next Flock meeting via Zoom on Saturday, July 6th. If you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas via email. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, though, especially if we're flying together, supporting one another, and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time, be well.